team.
And here we go.
All right, got another hour or so tonight. We'll go till 6:15. The home team is presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Chris and Tyler with you, and then we'll have Georgia baseball tonight, 6:35. First pitch from Augusta.
Yeah, and it looks like the weather's going to hold off for today. I hadn't looked at the forecast for tomorrow, but I think we should be good for that game as well. I know that's in Statesboro.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine for tomorrow. And then the weekend in Gainesville should be good.
It's going to be nice and hot in Gainesville.
Hot. Yeah, with weird start times. They play at 6:30 on Friday, then they have a night game Saturday, then turn around and play at noon on Sunday.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
The Braves are doing a split squad thing today at spring training. They'll play Baltimore tonight. They played the Astros earlier today and won 3-0 behind Mike Soroka. But the Braves didn't hit anyone.
Ah, damn.
Yeah, no. The Braves got hit twice, but no hit batters by the Braves.
I did see some videos of some of the heckling fans in the stands, though, which of course is happening at every single Astros game in spring training. It's only going to get worse when the season actually started. But yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed. There were some bold statements by some Braves a couple weeks ago regarding the Astros, and you know, this is a team that you're not going to see in the regular season until right before the end of it.
This is the last series of the year.
I thought it was the next to last.
It's the last. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're not going to see them until the end of September. You could have, you know, and again, I'm sure there'll still be teams hitting them throughout the year, but it'll be a little bit stale at that point, I would think. Here was your chance to really make an impression.
Yeah, Markakis was the one that said they all needed to be beaten. He didn't play in this game.
Oh,
so
he's conveniently on the other squad.
He must be in Baltimore tonight, or wherever in Baltimore, wherever Baltimore Springs in Florida, because they played Houston at Cool Today Stadium.
Yeah, that's the Braves Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, Markakis is... he's in the lineup for the other game tonight.
You know,
against the Orioles.
We're going to send you to play the Orioles. We'll let somebody else handle the Astros game.
Yeah. In case they wanted to take you up on your offer of a beating.
I saw a fan that was sitting behind home plate. He's referring to Altuve as Tatuve now, which I thought was pretty good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to put up with that all year.
There was one guy that just had like a small waste basket on his head that he was just constantly banging. Thought it was pretty good.
Eventually, when they're making their way through, I guess, the AL West, and they see those teams a couple times, it'll get over it. But everyone else that they see, at least for the first time,
I was going to say, that first trip, especially to their in-division opponents, it's going to be raucous.
And then the Yankees, when they have to go to the Bronx, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, but that's... didn't we determine that was a little bit later on in the season? Isn't it before they play the Braves?
Yes, they go to the Bronx. They play like a four-game series there, and maybe it is back-to-back. Or maybe there's a series in between, but yeah.
Why is Aroldis Chapman starting game one for the Yankees?
Yeah, just right from the get-go.
Well, that means the Astros could roll in here pretty sore then, I guess.
They could, yeah. Well, they'll be softened up for Markakis to beat them up if he still wants to.
That's right. No, I think, and you know, as horrible as it is what they did and everything, and obviously, you know, the repercussions that have come since then, this has heightened the entertainment value of baseball by quite a bit.
Have we determined whether or not they play the Dodgers this season?
I don't know.
They play the Diamondbacks. I'm in August, September. Yeah, they don't play the... I guess they don't play the Dodgers. They play the Diamondbacks, but not the Dodgers. But yeah, their last seven games are they go to the Yankees and then they come to Atlanta. So they close on the road.
So while the raucous atmosphere of away games for them may die down as the regular season goes along, let them play the Dodgers in the World Series again.
Yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah, I guess somehow they play the... they play all the NL East teams and then the Diamondbacks, but they don't play the Dodgers because they play the Phillies, the Marlins, the Braves, and the Mets. So anyway, the Braves and Astros played today, but the Braves didn't hit anyone.
Disappointed. I think I heard Fulte hit a couple guys in his start the other day, but I think that was just wild pitches.
Yeah, and the Braves, I think this is the second time they've played Houston. I know they played them, I think, maybe the second to that first weekend of spring training, I guess they haven't seen them since.
You should hit them every single time.
Right. All right, to the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Tyler, you may fire when ready.
You and Jeff yesterday, I was listening to you guys on the 960 The Ref app while I was at the gym yesterday.
All right.
Conveniently during the 5 at 5 because I don't like to hear other people's sports talk when I can listen to the professionals instead.
Absolutely.
Anyways, you guys
were talking... We'll keep you abreast of everything ESPN thinks about Georgia.
That's right. You guys were talking yesterday about kind of bracketology a little bit, but we got the conference tournaments coming up starting tomorrow with the SEC tournament. Who do you think the winners, and I'll just stick to the major conferences here, your ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, all that kind of stuff. Who do you think the winners of the major conference tournaments will be?
All right, the ACC, I'm going to pull up the brackets here.
I got them pulled up here, and I'll just kind of throw them at you as I go along. We'll start with the ACC.
Because I want to say with the ACC, you've got Duke and Florida State are like in the same side where they would meet in the semifinals. So Florida State's the one seed. Duke is the favorite, of course. But only one of them could make the final.
Yes.
I would look at the bottom of that bracket with someone like Louisville or even Virginia that ended up with the two seed. Not like every game Virginia won at the end of the year was by like 2 points.
Yeah.
But they ended up...
Well, that's in line with their style, right?
Yeah, I guess so. They ended up actually the two seed. I'm gonna take a wild card there and say Louisville is going to win it. I just don't think the one seed's going to make it through in Florida State. Duke, I think, is sketchy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the Ville.
Their tournament's actually happening right now. Wake Forest and Pitt are playing in the game one.
Yeah.
Because their championship game's on Saturday, not Sunday.
Are they still in Brooklyn? Do you know?
No, they're in Greensboro, actually.
All right.
For this one. It's weird. It's sponsored by New York Life, but it's in Greensboro.
Well, just like when it's in Brooklyn and they've got ads for Food Lion and Bojangles.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The folks up there are like, what are those?
Yeah, neither of those establishments exist in New York.
You got Virginia Tech and North Carolina playing later on tonight. I thought it was funny at that little sports center break before we have at the top of the hour, and Dari Noka was reading off the usual suspects getting ready for the NCAA tournament. He said he wished he had the record scratch for North Carolina. Like, oh, not this year.
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they're the 14 seed.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't Tech be if they were in it? Would Tech be the...
Okay, that is a good point. So technically they have 15 teams because Notre Dame plays basketball in the ACC. So I guess Tech would have been the 15th seed, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's funny because Tech not being in the tournament actually balances it out more.
I always remember in the ACC, there was always, before they even expanded, I guess, to 12, I remember there was always like this one game, like on, I guess their tournament would start Tuesday. They'd play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
which they still finish on a Saturday. But there was always like this one game that was, it always felt like it was Clemson and somebody were in the, it essentially felt like a play-in game.
Yeah.
I think it was even called a play-in game.
Well, that's kind of what these first two games are today, essentially.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Georgia will be in that tomorrow against Ole Miss with Vandy and Arkansas in that 14-11 game later on the night. So, all right, so I'm going to take, my flyer will be Louisville.
Okay, so Louisville out of the ACC.
Yeah.
Going to the Big 10, or the Big 12 now, excuse me. This is just the order that I have the brackets pulled up here. Big 12. Number one seed would be...
It's Kansas, right?
Kansas, of course, yes.
I think Kansas is the best team in the country, and you'd probably just have to ride with them getting in there.
You don't think, you don't think Baylor could?
Yeah, Baylor's had a good year. I guess if there was an odd team that could make it through, maybe West Virginia, but those games aren't being played in Morgantown. I know West Virginia just had a win over Baylor at home over the weekend. I think I'm just going to stay chalky there and take Kansas.
I'm looking at the seeding of the teams in the Big 12 tournament. I haven't seen much of Oklahoma or Texas. They're the 3 and 4 seed. I mean, is it kind of Kansas, Baylor, and everybody else, or do you think Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas are legitimate threats, or they just happen to be the 3 and 4 seeds?
I can't say that with Texas, but I guess if there was a more of a wild card in there as the sixth seed. I'd probably say West Virginia.
Okay.
But, you know, Texas did get hot at the end of the year, though.
Right.
So they did get it cranked up. I think they were like 4-8 at one point, and they ended up 9-9.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd probably go with West Virginia as being if there was a dark horse there coming off that win over Baylor.
Okay, now onto the Big East tournament. Creighton's the number one seed in that, but Villanova is the number two.
Boy, Creighton just got smoked a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it Was it St. John's that blew them out?
I think so. And St. John's is the number nine team in the Big East tournament. So bad loss.
So Butler and Providence. You got Creighton's got. They'd play either St. John's or Georgetown. Then you got Nova's going to get DePaul. So Nova's on a bracket with. You know, a team I like is Seton Hall.
Okay.
So you'd have Creighton. And then Providence or Butler in one semi with Nova and Seton Hall. I'm going to go Seton Hall there.
Okay.
Yeah, the Pirates.
All right, on to the Big Ten, probably the
this
toughest
is a tough one,
one
yeah.
Because, gosh, they're looking at possibly getting like 9-10 teams into the tournament.
Now, Michigan State has caught fire.
Yes.
At the end of the year. They've woken up at the right time. They've won 5 in a row, and 4 of them have been really impressive because they've beaten Ohio State. They got a win over Maryland. They beat Illinois too,
mm-hmm.
down the stretch. Like basically, they won 4 straight games. They won 5 in a row. They beat Nebraska, and then the other 4 games they won were against teams that are going to be in the tournament. I mean, I think anyone could win this thing. Well, other than like the teams that are playing. First, you got Northwestern, Minnesota, and then Nebraska and Indiana. Although Minnesota's one of those teams, like they lost a ton of close games this year, so they're probably better than their record as the mm-hmm. 12 seed. Is Wisconsin the one seed there?
Yeah, they are.
You know, like Iowa's got maybe the player of the year in the country in Garza. I mean, Purdue and Ohio State are both. That's a 7-10 game, and both of those teams are. They're going to be like decently seeded in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Penn State had a great year.
Rutgers. They got ranked for the first time ever, I think.
And they're in the 8-9. The 8-9 game is Michigan Rutgers. So the 8-9 game and the 7-10 game are both tournament teams in the Big Ten.
Yes. Was this in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it's in Indianapolis, yeah. I believe where the Pacers play.
Doesn't that just kind of feel like a weird location for the like Big Ten championships? I mean, I get it. You have like in-state teams with Purdue and Indiana and stuff, but I don't know. Just something about Indianapolis doesn't seem Big Ten to me.
Doesn't seem big time enough.
Yeah,
I guess. Like, why don't they go? They've got Rutgers. Why don't they go to New York?
Yeah, I don't see why not. They finally capitalize on that New York, New Jersey market they're always talking about. They're certainly not pulling it in football.
You know, I'm looking at the semifinal because with Sparty and Maryland, like they would play each other in the semi. So you've got the potential to have Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, or Rutgers in one semi, giving them a bit of a clearer path to at least get to the final. But in the end, I do think Maryland and the way Michigan State is playing right now, it's hard to look away from them, but Michigan State would have to play either Purdue or Ohio State in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland would likely play Penn State unless they were upset by Nebraska or Indiana. I'm going to take Maryland.
Okay.
I'm going to go with another 3 seed there and say Maryland wins the Big Ten.
Follow-up question to that. What's the lowest seed in this tournament that you could confidently say has a good shot at winning?
I would probably say... The 7, Ohio State.
Okay. So you think it's a 17 free-for-all in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I'd like to go back because obviously in the SEC tournament, we know Georgia pulled the stunner in 08, so you had the last-place team won there. I believe in the ACC tournament, the worst seed that's ever won it is the 6.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is in the Big Ten. That'd be something worth checking out, but I think Ohio State is the 7 seed would be my... would be my cutoff as the lowest seeded team that could win it all.
Pac-12 tournament, Oregon number one seed. They get a bye, USC, UCLA, and Arizona State as well.
I'm going to take, even though they don't have a bye, I'm going to go with Arizona there.
Number five seed.
Yeah.
Start off Washington tomorrow at 2:30.
Yeah. That's a tough. And then they'd have USC, and then they potentially would have Oregon as the top seed in the semifinals, so the bottom half of that bracket would have. That's crazy. UCLA ended up the two seed, and they're like, they feel like completely irrelevant. Arizona State's the three. You know, Colorado is good. Colorado beat. They beat Dayton this year in overtime. Dayton has two losses, both in overtime. If you're looking for a long shot there, I might say California. I mean, not California, Colorado. Although okay. California is where Mark Fox is now.
That's true.
They play. I'm going to take Arizona as the five seed to win there.
Lastly, the SEC tournament.
I mean, you got to pick the Cats, right?
Yeah, you think so? Even in their off year?
Their off year where they still won the league?
Yes, they did.
I'm trying to look so their bracket sets up to get either Bama or Tennessee in the quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Mississippi State as the four seed that gets the double bye, but they would potentially, if the seeds hold, you say Florida. Although Florida would have to play either Georgia or Ole Miss on Thursday. So, you know, Mississippi State is good, though. I don't trust Auburn. If I was looking for a team that's a long shot to make a run, I would actually go with Texas A&M as the seven. They play Missouri. They beat Missouri twice during the regular season. They just beat Auburn on the road a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that run where Auburn kept winning all those games in overtime, finally caught up to them. They're one of the luckiest teams in the country. I think LSU's vulnerable, too, on the bottom half. If you were going dark horse, I'd say Texas A&M. But in the end, I'm just going to ride with the Cats. It's Kentucky's league.
And so we're obviously Kentucky, all top four seeds are going to get in the tournament. Is Mississippi State still in the bubble?
At 20-11 and 11-7. I think they might be good. But if they lost their one and only game and they lost it to Florida, like, it's fun. I mean, here they are. They've got the same record as Florida. They win the tie, but I feel like Florida's solidly in.
Yeah, I'm trying to check bracketology. I guess they've moved Mississippi State in now because they were on the bubble last time. I'm trying to see where they got them seated at.
Yeah, I would think Mississippi State gets in.
So we're confident those four teams would get in. Any chance anybody else does? I mean, obviously, if anybody runs the table and wins the whole thing, they would get in, but
I don't think so. I've mentioned the Arkansas is a team that is, if you look at RPIs and if you look at KenPom, they're one of the highest rated teams in the conference, but they're only 7-11, and they've got arguably the best player in the conference in Mason Jones. Mm-hmm. And then their second best player, Isaiah Joe, missed a chunk of games this year and they lost every one of them. Like, they would be a candidate for a team that could maybe get on a run, but they have to play tomorrow too. So it's like, they're going to win 5 games in 5 days.
Right.
And that's highly unlikely, but they are in the section of the bracket that would have them not have to play Kentucky until the final. So if you're in the bottom half of the bracket, if you are Arkansas and you've got, you know, the best player in the conference and Mason Jones, and you get South Carolina, and then you would, you know, move on to have to play LSU, who they just beat at home a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, Arkansas wouldn't, it's not outlandish,
right,
that they could get on a run.
Right.
But I don't know if getting to the semis or just getting to the finals would be enough to push them in. Like, I think they'd probably, but they're playing tomorrow.
Right.
They'd have to win it all and just get the automatic bid.
Right. Wow, that took longer than I thought it would. But yeah. I'll close out the 5-5. You brought it up earlier, Ant-Man saying that, you know, if Georgia's able to extend its season and play in something like the NIT, that he'd be down for playing in it. Now, that would take them beating Ole Miss and Florida to get to that 500 record to be eligible for that. Do you believe that Anthony Edwards would actually play in the NIT if Georgia makes it?
Yeah, I trust him.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, he said he's it's like, it's one of those deals where, you know, you get it where with college football, like, well, this guy shouldn't play in this bowl game or this guy should. It's like, well, Like DeAndre Swift ended up suiting up and playing some in the Sugar Bowl. I know he was injured, so he didn't play a lot. But I really thought when Georgia's offense was doing nothing early on against Baylor that he came into the field. They ran that like flea flicker to him, and finally Georgia's offense kind of got going with Pickens there. But just having his presence on the field for that one play made a big difference. And it always just comes down to like maybe some of these guys – they like their teammates. They like being around their teammates, and they want to play with those guys. And that's what Edwards said. Like he's got, he likes this team. He likes the coaches, and he wants to go as long as they possibly can. Now, here's the problem: if Georgia is 15-16, so if they do win, and then they beat Florida, and they're over 500, but if they lose in the quarterfinal, then they're back at 500. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to win. They'd have to make it to the semifinal to guarantee finishing over 500.
Okay. I didn't think about that. That makes sense.
Yeah, so they'd have to win tomorrow, beat Florida, beat Mississippi State, and then that would put them at 18-16. And then if they lost to Kentucky in the semi, they'd be 18-17, and I guess they'd be above 500, so they'd be eligible to get picked by the NIT.
Right.
And I think they probably would because of Edwards, especially if he does say he's committed to sure playing. But
didn't Dominique take them all the way? It was the finals of the NIT?
Yes. Yeah. In 81?
I wasn't alive back then, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, so but, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I was going to say, it's a tall task to get that far in the tournament. It's going to be a tall task just to beat Ole Miss.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens.
Who did come here and win earlier this season. I'll say this, though, for the matchup tomorrow with Ole Miss, Georgia has been the worst defensive team in the SEC in conference play. Ole Miss has been one of the worst offensive teams in the league in conference play. So Georgia's weakness maybe wouldn't be able to get as pushed and as exposed as much by Ole Miss, but Ole Miss has been one of the better defensive teams in the conference this season, and Georgia's offense has definitely been spotty at times. So there's a matchup that doesn't necessarily favor the Dogs well in that game.
We got a little more time here. I've been meaning to ask this question since last week, actually. Did you watch the guy that crossed the volcano on, like, the tightrope? Did you hear about that?
No. Was he a Walenda?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That guy. And he was apparently tethered to, like, some bungee cord or something. People were, like, mad that he wasn't actually risking his life crossing the volcano. I don't know. I didn't watch it. It was, like, a made-for-TV special or something like that. But I wanted to ask you, what is the most daring feat you've ever accomplished in your life? Like, you've ever done something very daring?
I don't think I have, because I'm not willing to commit to daring.
Well, I'm not saying commit to, like, maybe something they accidentally did. I don't know.
Nothing. I'm not courageous. I'm pretty much a coward.
You didn't jump from building to building when you were in college?
No, I mean, I probably did attempted stupid stuff like that when I was a kid. I do remember one time, I mean, not that it was daring, I climbed up on my roof one time.
Okay.
And then I got to this point where I couldn't figure out how to...
Oh, no.
With the ladder up there.
Uh-huh.
Like, get back down.
What was your goal when climbing up on the roof?
I can't remember why.
Just to be on the roof?
No. I mean, I think there was something up there I wanted to go and check out.
Oh.
But I don't... So, I had to, like, bang on it.
Oh, no.
And hope that I got my wife's attention, and eventually I did, and I said...
This is you as a grown adult, not as a child.
Yeah. No, okay. This makes it even worse.
Okay,
I'm actually
glad we cleared that up.
I'm technically a man at this point. So I had to bang on it to get my wife's attention, to get her to come out and actually move the ladder so that I could jump off. I was lucky enough to be at a point where, like, it was the distance from the roof to the ground wasn't that high.
Okay.
So I made it. I made it down unscathed.
You were practicing your inner Jeff Hardy, right?
Yeah.
Jumping off giant ladders.
Tables, ladders, and chairs.
Did you do like a cool flip or like a leg drop or something?
I did kind of roll, but it was just to play off the fact that I had busted.
See, when you started that story, I was fully expecting like your 8-year-old self or something like that. Like, Mom, get me off this roof.
No. I mean, I think when I was a kid, I did stuff like I would jump off the top of monkey bars.
Okay.
I mean, I did stuff like that when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Or I remember we would do, like when we were kids, we'd have like our bicycles, and we would basically have demolition derby.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, with bicycles. I had these kids I hung out with. There were like three of them. They were brothers, uh-huh. and they had these bottle rockets one time, and they were shooting them at each other, and I didn't partake in that.
You made the conscious decision yeah. that probably wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, I'd have any interest in firing off bottle rockets at other... I just stayed on the sidelines for that little war.
That was probably a smart call. You may be without a few fingers had you decided to partake in that.
Yeah, one. So other than that, no, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing too daredevilish. But I do like, that even though anyone that's criticizing someone who is tethered.
Would never do that.
Yeah, how about you walk across a volcano even if you are tethered to something?
This is why people shouldn't have social media.
Yeah. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution will...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.